ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 31 टेक्स्ट 7।
तन्न प्रद्योतया ध्यात्मा ज्ञानं तत्त्वार्थदर्शनम् येनाञ्जसा तरिष्यामो दुस्तरं भवसागरम्।
ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय डिवाइन ग्रेस श्लैसी भक्तिविदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। Translation. Dear Master, kindly enlighten us in transcendental knowledge, which may act as a torchlight by which we may cross the dark nescience of material existence. Purport. The Prachetas requested Narada to enlighten them in transcendental knowledge. Generally, when a common man meets a saintly person, he wishes to get some material benediction. However, the Prachetas were not interested in material benefit, for they had enjoyed all this sufficiently. Nor did they want the fulfillment of their material desires. They were simply interested in crossing the ocean of nescience. Everyone should be interested in getting out of these material clutches. Everyone should approach a saintly person in order to be enlightened in this connection. One should not bother a saintly person to get blessings for material enjoyment. Generally, householders receive saintly persons to get their blessings, but their real aim is to become happy in the material world. Asking such material benedictions is not recommended in the Shastras.
Tanna pradyotta pradyotaya adhyatma jnanam tattvara darshanam yena anjasa tarishyamaha dustaram bhavasagaram.
This is the final part of the entreaty made by the Prachetas to Narad Muni. They are saying that, dear Master, kindly enlighten us in transcendental knowledge. This knowledge may act as a torchlight by which we may cross the dark nescience of material existence. In yesterday's class, His Grace Runipriya Prabhu brought a very nice point about the various kinds of prayers or the position of prayer in a devotee's life. So I just thought I'll just continue that line of thinking. He said these three verses, 5th, 6th and 7th, they follow that particular line. Bhakti seems to be a matter of emotion, and wherever there are feelings, emotions, normally we don't think there can be a system or there can be a staircase. Just like the yoga system is a very mechanical kind of procedure. Like recently we had this seminar given by His Grace Brihat Mridang Prabhu on the yoga ladder. Now when we think of a ladder, naturally we think in terms of sequence. Like there is a multi-storied building right in front of our temple, and we expect every story to be numbered in sequence. You can't have 1, 2, 9, 14, then 5, 6, like that. doesn't make sense. If everybody in their high-rise apartments decide to give numbers according to their own choice, it will be very confusing. Imagine going to Nariman Point, and if somebody is a salesman, or he has to go to visit 6 buildings, you don't know which number may come first. The very first ground floor may be called 31, the next one may be 2. It doesn't make any sense. It has to be logically, sequentially numbered. So similarly, the Hatha yoga system, Hatha means, in India, if somebody is very stubborn, we call him Hathi, is very stubborn, Hat karta hai, very disobedient. So Hathat means although the mind and senses, they don't want some discipline, you give them some discipline deliberately. And therefore, in the Hatha Yoga system, there are so many ways in which you contort your body or you hold it for some time. There is more emphasis on holding breath or twisting your limbs and holding them at that position. And in this way, gradually you gain control. Of course, most of the yogasanas cannot be performed in this age. It's not practical. Arjun, when he was given a brief description of this yoga system, he says, Yoyam yogas tvaya prokta samyena Madhusudana. O Madhusudan Krishna, this yoga system which you have just described to me is impractical. I don't think I can see myself ever doing this kind of yoga practice as the main practice of my spiritual life. And Prabhupada clarifies in his lectures that there is no instance in the whole Mahabharata of Arjun ever doing any kind of asanas for spiritual benefit. Of course, devotees do these kind of things for keeping their body in good condition, and that is okay, but it is not the main vehicle of gaining the real purpose of life. So, if bhakti cannot be like this, like one thing leads to another, many people, at least in India, when you say, bhakti is a matter of heart, it's a matter of emotion. Emotions can go anywhere, emotions can need not follow a certain ladder. The most grossest example is mundane romance. If you ask somebody, how exactly did you start liking him or her? Okay, when was the first time that 20% affection grew? So people can't describe like that. You just feel that mundane poets, mundane authors, they have a very grand expression for this. They call it love at first sight. That means full love at first sight. Normally it's not true. Everybody knows that. But at least this expression is very appealing. Very, very appealing. Every year, countless novels and stories and poems are churned out by hopefuls in the event of they also may think that I also can get this kind of experience. Or if somebody doesn't get it actually, he fantasizes it through his hero, who is his own alter ego or his own creation, and through that novel or book tries to portray that. In the first canto, in the prayers of Queen Kunti, there's a very interesting purport. And recently, I was reading that, but a thought came to my mind about something which I read. Somebody in our temple had bought the monthly publication of the Sringeri Math. Some impersonalistic stuff. And there, a lay
reader or a lay author, not a member of the mutt, but somebody believing in that philosophy, he's saying, what is the use of flattering God? So flattery is seen as very bad. It is not seen as authentic. In fact, even outsiders, those who are not devotees, they think flattery is shallow, selfish, insincere, and ought to fail, and always fails. Usually it does. So if you flatter someone, that person understands that he is, in Sanskrit it is called, ati stuti ninda. Stuti means to praise someone. Oh, you look so nice. Oh, you sing so well. Oh, you cook so nice. And generally the person says, no, it's not like that. But if you say, oh, you are the most exquisite dancer in the whole of creation, there is never a dancer like you, then the devotee may feel, anything wrong? Did I offend you anyway? What exactly? What is the truth? Speak it up. Even Lord Chaitanya, God himself, but when he was praised in public, he would always say, Vishnu, 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 don't praise me like that. So generally non-devotees feel that, what is this Hare Krishna, all day long you want to chant somebody's name? Like our Dayaram Prabhu was just revealing once, after a long gap, he had visited his parents. And his father, seeing that he is chanting all day long, he said, give him some rest. This Krishna whom you are calling all day long, give him a break. You are just chanting Krishna, 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 day in, day out. What's the use of that? So generally, an entreaty or beseechment or a request or prayer is generally looked down upon in this world. Why? Previously in British period, even if a clerk had to give an application for a leave in the British period, if somebody is a clerk in the Indian posts or in the Indian railways, then how do you write your letter? Dear sir, I beg to inform you that I have this thing in my home and this is a religious function which I have to attend. So I beg, please grant me leave. And the last line should be, your most obedient servant. So of course nowadays people don't like such kind of false, basically it's false language, calling yourself most obedient when you know you're not. Even your boss knows you're not. And in today's age of downsizing and right-sizing and all these kind of things, loyalty and begging is all out. But at the same time, we cannot say we are not forced to beg or forced to pray to someone. It's unavoidable. During the 71 or maybe the 74 Indo-Pak war, brief war, only 14 days, a reporter asked Prabhupada in Delhi, what is this chanting? India is in a state of war. People are dying. Delhi also is being made the brunt of attack. Anytime Pakistani bombers may come here. So isn't it better that you go to Yahya Khan, who was the leader of Pakistan at the time, and request him to stop hostilities? So Prabhupada said, try to understand my point. Why do you want to flatter Yahya Khan? If he stops the war, do you think you will not die? He says, no, now the streets of Delhi are very dangerous. Prabhupada said, any time you can slip down on a banana skin and die, you don't need the bombs to fly on you, to fall on you. So if you want to flatter, why not flatter Krishna? At least at the time of death, if you remember him, you will completely solve all your problems of birth, old age, disease and death. There were so many soldiers in the battlefield of Kurukshetra who had nothing to do with the Pandavas, who had no affection for Krishna. But just because they were on the battlefield and they saw Krishna giving this instruction to Arjun, they saw the whole activity of the Lord and His pure devotee and they died, somehow they got some position in transcendence. That's what Prabhupada explains. Prabhupada says because of staying in the sun, some stones become valuable. Some stones, after getting so much sunshine, they are called a Surya Kanta Mani. Kanta means complexion. But this is just a dumb old stone. But because of staying in contact with this open sunshine, it carries some of its effulgence. And those who really get that effulgence, if you put that stone in a dark place, it will give up some effulgence. So this is a very good analogy that if somebody exposes himself to Krishna somehow or other, you get the benefit. So, when devotees engage in, we can use it flattery for the time being. We say, Krishna, you are so great. Normally a devotee, Krishna himself explains, artha jigyasu artharthi jnani. If somebody is in terrible pain and there is no cure or no immediate cure and you say, God, please help me with this pain. I can't bear it any longer. Artha. Jigyasu, if somebody is inquisitive, I want to have some knowledge. Where can I get some knowledge? Normally, even if people don't believe in God, at least the exclamation is there. Oh God, where are you? So God hears that. Artharthi, somebody wants money. That's the most commonest thing. You go in front of a popular temple and you say, please help me. There are people who make Balaji their partner in business. Of course, they used to make, they make him the profit partner. If there is a loss, they don't go and ask him that, please give your share of the loss here also. If there is a profit, I give Tirupati Balaji 20% of it as his partner's share. And Jnani, if somebody thinks, no, there must be a God and I want to find him, please, God, let me come towards you. So these four kinds of people, Krishna calls them Udar, Krishna calls them magnanimous, and he calls them, they are good souls. They are good. At least they are not Duratmas. They are not wicked, impious, sinful people who never come to me. They may not have any sickness, illness. They may not have any financial problems. They may not have any other problem in the world. In fact, Prabhupada explains in the Gita, they might be even knowledgeable fellows, like even Nobel Prize winning scientists, doctors, lawyers, managers, industrialists. But if they don't come, then they are not pious. So the devotees trying to strike a conversation, if you can say, what to do when you come before the Lord, what to speak. If I should not ask for any material benediction, what should I do? The acharyas explain, there is a 3-step procedure. It's called samprarthanatmika, dainya bodhika and lalasa mai. So, we'll just see that in brief. Samprarthanatmika is made when attachment for the Lord is not yet manifest. It's not that full-scale attachment has to be there. It's not possible. Even in material sense, full-scale affection or attachment for a particular thing, person, this doesn't come. You have to give some time. Many devotees, at least I was accosted by so many people many times, that when you chant in public, if you are in a bus, or if you are in an elevator, in your office,
if you are chanting, somebody says, kuch farak pada?
There is a very famous so-called saintly person in India. He used to say, mala phirat jug gaya, gaya na man ka phir. He says, you are chanting for one yuga, one eon. Still your mind is not free from these material encumbrances. Attachment is not gone yet. Gaya na man ka phir, kar ka man ka dali de, man ka phir. He says, hey, this mala in your hand, the beads in your hand, throw it away and chant mentally, real chanting. If you want to do something, do it purely. So I was just wondering what Prabhupada says about this personality. Prabhupada says he's an upstart. He says, this fellow, he says actually he's a rascal. He says he doesn't have any standing in spirituality. He's telling people to throw away those beads. That's like, if a small baby is just now learning to walk, and you know there are walkers for the babies, they can stand on that, and slowly, slowly the baby takes its first steps. And if somebody says, hey, give it up. If you can't walk properly, don't walk. It's cruelty, it's injustice. Rather than appreciating the endeavor, this person is just not understanding what's happening. So, the whole world may criticize a neophyte's desire to properly reciprocate with the Lord or to properly begin prayers. The acharyas are like the parents. They always applaud even at the first step taken. They never see the failures. They always see the progress made. So, samprarthanatmika is usually done when there is no love manifest, but something has to be done. Something, you have to say something when you come before Krishna. So, one thing can be done. That is, we can at least understand the mood of samprarthanatmika, and that mood is described by Rupa Goswami as a prayer of wholehearted submission of mind, body and everything to Krishna. At least we can say, I want to offer my mind, body and everything to you, my Lord. So the prayer, a very nice Sanskrit verse says, yuvati naam yatha yuni, yunan cha yuvato yatha, mano bilamati tadvan, mano bilamatam tvai. He says, yuvati naam yatha yuni, as young girls are attached to young boys, and young boys are very easily, spontaneously attached to young girls, he's saying, oh Krishna, mano abhiramata, let my mind be attached in that way. So this is how the acharyas many times explain, by giving some kind of sentiment with which we can easily relate. So, once someone understands, like one devotee asked Prabhupada, what exactly do you mean by loving Krishna or desiring for Krishna? So Prabhupada spotted a few young girls and boys strolling around. And he said, you see that? He said, you mean it's like that? He was very surprised because it made immediate sense. Prabhupada said, no, more than that, but something like that. You can understand it, something more. And it's eternal, doesn't stop at any time. So, samprarthanatmika is when there is no love manifest. Second stage, or the next part of it may not be a stage. This is very technical knowledge. But Narottam Das Thakur has simply written beautiful, exquisite Bengali songs. Simple Bengali, where all these three sentiments come as a natural sequence. So therefore, Vishwanath Chakravarti Pad says, these songs of Narottam Das Thakur are as good as the Vedas. There is no difference. So after that, this stage, the stage of Dainya Bodhika. Dainya is humility. So these are prayers expressing humility and one's utter worthlessness. This is something which karmis can't understand. There are books which give you self-esteem, self-worth, and you are the winner, and you can do this, you can move the world. So naturally, this kind of a wave of sentiment flooding the entire outside world, devotee saying, you know, I am worthless, I am this. Go to any psychiatrist and he will say, hey, it's very dangerous. This kind of poisonous thoughts should not be entertained in your mind. These thoughts may kill you if you think you are worthless. Sure, they will kill you if you are worthless. But if you think you are worthless to serve Krishna, that's a very uplifting thought. So, all the previous acharyas, they showed how worthless they are in their sentiment. It's not that you just get some kind of kick or some high by saying, oh, I am useless. And then, no, it's not like that. In Christianity, there is a history of a few adherents of followers of Jesus Christ. In the early days of its development, 3-4 centuries after Jesus Christ had left, and just the preaching was about to begin, and they were called the desert fathers. They used to stay in the Egypt area. So these devotees, they deliberately used to wear such kind of clothing. The criteria was, if you keep it on the street, not even a thief will take it away. So that kind of clothing you should wear. Food should be so unpalatable that you won't take one more morsel, but you have to because you are hungry. And no rest, sleep on the hard stone floor. And some of the extremes among them, they would take a whip and go and give it to any passerby and say, please whip me hard because I am a sinner. So this was a kind of course, they were dedicated. We don't know how many of them succeeded in actually keeping that kind of lifestyle. Certainly there are none of those adherents right now. And then some people, they introduce some moderation, that no need to do like this. Just have that life of prayer. Anyway, so this is not a mental disorder that somebody is feeling himself worthless. Seeing how much the Lord is giving and how much I can offer Him in return, you certainly feel you are worthless. So this is another prayer, Danya Bodhika. The devotee prays, Mattulyo nasti papatma naparadhi cha kaschana parihare pi lajjame kimbru ve purushottama. Matsamo nasti papatma, there is no sinner like me. Na aparadhi cha kaschana, no big offender than me. Parihare pi lajjame, and I have also given up shame. I am coming before you, I am asking something. Kim bruve, what can I speak now? I am sinner, I am an offender, I am shameless also. So what can I say now? So that dainya, it acts like a cleaning agent, a very thorough cleaning agent. And then of course, the third is the lalsa mai. Okay, you said you want to have some love for Krishna. Now you are saying you are worthless. So what do you want to do? Do you want to do something? So the third is the lalsa mai. Lalsa is, there is some attachment for something. And that something is service. What is that service that you want to do? So this verse personifies that. Kadaham yamuna tire nama neetava kirtayan Udbashpa Pundarikaksha Rachayishyami Tandavan. Says, when will that day be mine when I would be on the bank of Yamuna and Udbashpa with a voice choked with emotions, O Pundarikaksha, I would just dance like a madman. So that is the yearning for personal service. You want some personal service. Even in this material world, you might find somebody is a big industrialist and his secretary, his personal assistant, he writes a book. And that book becomes very famous. My Years with J.R.D. Tata. And people say, oh, let us see what this fellow has to say. He was his backdoor man, he was his secretary, he was his personal assistant. And people ask him, how was he in his private life? And he would say, oh, he was so generous. I wanted one day some money and he immediately gave me some money. One day I was limping, immediately said, change your shoes. Something like that. Very personal, very kind, very tough also, very stubborn, very hardworking. So, that understanding which you get by becoming a personal servant is attractive. So when non-devotees accuse that, you know, all is chanting, why you want to be eternal servant of Krishna? You worship Krishna, okay, hum bhi bhakta hai, we are also devotees. He said, no, I want to be a servant of Krishna. He said, oh, that's not very palatable. But when you say, I want to be an eternal servant of Krishna, birth after birth after birth, you know, non-devotees scream, Vishnu, Vishnu, Vishnu. And they go out. It's too much. What is this? So, that feeling of worthlessness, they feel this person actually becomes worthless. That's not true. By expressing your honesty, you get endowed with good qualities. It's very nicely explained by Gaudiya Acharyas. Krishna is a supreme positive. And any living entity, spirit soul, if he says, I am also a little bit positive. What happens when the supreme positive meets a little false positive? There is friction. Just like in magnetism, like poles repel. If you have a strong magnet, North Pole, and you take another little magnet, the same North Pole, you bring them together, it will deflect it away. Similarly, Krishna is the supreme transcendental reservoir of all qualities. His qualities are so numerous, Srimad Bhagavatam explains, as many fine grains of sand there are in all the material universes, Krishna has more good qualities than them. And then he says, Lord Balaram as Ananta Shesh has actually counted them. No material scientist can count. But Lord Balaram, due to his superior intelligence, has actually counted them. But still he cannot come to the end of those qualities because those qualities also keep on increasing. Krishna's qualifications keep on increasing. Like there was a minister in the Maharashtra government many years ago. His hobby was to collect degrees. Every 1.5 years, he would add one diploma in botanical engineering, diploma in fisheries and diploma in oceanography, something. He thought he was so intelligent. He may be. So that was very attractive. People were asking, now which degree you take this year? Just collecting 13, 14 degrees after his name. So, we are filled with admiration for some mundane mortal person who just wants to show his knowledge, his capacity for learning. So God, his qualities, they go on increasing. So with this kind of person, if somebody comes before him and speaks of something positive, just imagine the impact, how quickly this person would be kicked away from that position. Similarly, the opposite also works true. If instead of becoming positive, if you become negative, there is immediate attraction. Like a very powerful magnet and the opposite pole. If you see sometimes, even an iron piece, you start a very powerful electric magnet, it forcibly attracts iron filings. That is how those who express their worthlessness, they want to do some service, that attraction is there. Once one disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur decided to show that he is also very interested in very high topics about Radha Krishna. So he went to his Guru Maharaj and he said, he asked him some very, very deep question. And immediately he saw that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati became very thoughtful. After a long pause, he said, "You want to know what's happening in this Leela? For a long time, I am trying to offer a flower to Krishna and I am not successful yet." He immediately understood that I am treading in a very dangerous territory. If my guru, who is like a Simha guru, the Acharya of Gaudiya Math, and he is saying that, it is just like, see, we may feel, what's so big in offering a flower? Take a flower and just throw it there. You can do the first act of keeping something before Krishna. What will make Krishna pick that flower and smell it? We may release a string of Hare Krishna mantras towards Krishna, that my 16 rounds are over. But has he accepted them? Like, you pay your money. This is my payment for the service I received. And somebody says, all these notes are fake. So not only you have to pay a fine, but you will be arrested if you use this kind of thing. If we may shudder at the thought, say, my God, fake notes? That means I'm such a fool that I can't even see what is real and what is fake. So similarly, if the chanting which we do, or the service which we do, if it is not accepted, then what? So, of course, in the beginning, everybody is encouraged. You just continue your service. At one point of time, Krishna will accept it. And that is what Prabhupada means when in many parts of Srimad Bhagavatam, repeatedly the theme comes, being recognized by Krishna. We are working on this translation project. So one day I was thinking, what do you mean by recognized by Krishna? He knows me, I am, and I know who he is. What is the point in recognition? I know who Krishna is, Krishna knows who I am. So where is the point of recognition? Then in the discussion this thing came up. The government knows what this soldier is. He is among the 35 lakh soldiers in Indian Army. His name is there. His salary goes every month to him. His benefits go to him. His leave is sanctioned. He's given permission to transfer from this place to some village near his native place. All these things are there. The government knows what he is. But when he goes on the battlefield and does something totally out of this world, he shows chivalry, he shows bravery like never before. And when he is given the Param Vishishta Seva medal, that is recognition. Now not only the government knows that he was our servant, he was on our payroll, they say he is one of the most able soldiers of our army. This is whom we are proud of. That is recognition. So similarly, Krishna is willing to bestow that recognition on every living entity. In fact, Sanatana Goswami describes in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, what happens when the devotee actually makes it to the spiritual world? He says, Krishna comes before him, garlands him. He says, where were you? Without you, this whole thing was appearing very commonplace and without any taste for me. And he says, oh, you have come back. How many trials, how many tribulations you took for me, for my sake. And I understand your ups and downs, the way Maya just treacherously and so cruelly tested you. But all through that you came forth. You never ever ever gave up my service. And he says, Krishna faints by just appreciating the efforts done by the devotee. So this is how Krishna reciprocates. So, here the Prachetas are asking for Tattvartha Darshanam. We want knowledge which will enable us to cross over this material ocean. For what? What is this material ocean? Material ocean means the ignorance about devotional service to Krishna. Why is it so difficult that we can't understand? Practicing devotees who after so many years feel, why can't I make it a sincere effort? Or those who don't want to do it, why is it so difficult to start serving Krishna? Therefore, this is an apt correlation. If you say to someone, why can't you swim across the Pacific Ocean? What's so difficult? You know swimming, right? And this is water, what's the problem? You say, well, the length is what is causing the problem. So similarly, the attachment to material sense gratification is what causes the big problem. Many times we feel, if there was no sense gratification, easily we would have become devotees of Krishna. But no, that also is not true. Impersonalists, they are not attached to matter. Like one devotee made this nice comparison. Karmis are detached from Krishna, attached to matter. Impersonalists, detached from matter, detached from Krishna. Devotees trying to get detached from matter, getting attached to Krishna. So just a matter of attachment and detachment. You know, like in electronic equipment, sometimes you put the wrong plug here, wrong plug there. So just a matter of pulling things from here, putting it there, taking this out, taking it there. It works fine. In the life of one great king, we find this attachment coming as a surprise to himself and also a very, very good lesson for the rest of eternity practically. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes how one day King Pratap Rudra, the king of Orissa, Gajapati, he requested Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya he was his Raj Purohit, very, very good relationship existed between them. He respected Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. So he said, Lord Chaitanya, he came to Puri and he left. What is the reason? Normally, Purushottam Kshetra is supposed to be a very potent place. And he's gone to South India of all places. Just wandering here and there. What reason? He says, Svatantra Ishwar. He's the supreme personality of Godhead. How can you ask him why he's doing this and why he's doing that? No one can question him. That time Pratapada says, well, if you say he is Krishna himself, I'll accept it. Because I know your knowledge. I know who you are. And if you say something, then I accept it. Prabhupada says, this is parampara. This is accepting knowledge in disciplic succession. You may not be knowing anything about glories of God. But if you know the glories of the spiritual master, as to what kind of knowledge this person has, what kind of dedication he has, what kind of purity he has, sometimes the spiritual master may not be a scholar, like Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, who won't even sign his own name. And his disciple is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the greatest scholar of all times. And he said, all Vedic knowledge can be obtained from the dust of the lotus feet of Gaur Kishore Babaji Maharaj. So he said, I accept he is Krishna himself. So then can you please let me meet him once? He says, difficult. He is a sannyasi. At that time, you can imagine, that time Hindu society, prevailing society was so rigid that if a sannyasi is meeting a king, they would not think there is some problem with the king. He wants to become a devotee. There is some problem with the sannyasi. This fellow is now trying to gain some material assets. That's the only thing. So, the moment he is told, the request is made, he says, not possible. Again he makes a request. Again he says, no. But then he says, let me serve at least. This is how he takes that big step forward. He says, all his devotees from Bengal, from Gaudadesh are coming. So he tells Kashi Mishra, who is a big officer in the government, and the temple superintendent. He is called a Mahapatra, Padicha Mahapatra. I hope it's correct. That is the pronunciation. So, all the devotees who come are given their rooms, their prasad, and King Pratapudra is so eager to see them. He goes to the balcony of the palace and he tells Arun Bhattacharya, tell me who all these devotees are coming. He says, who is this effulgent personality? He says, this is Advaita Acharya, this is Haridas, this is Srivas Thakur. As he is going on introducing one devotee after another, he sees the devotees coming, meeting Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya offering them garlands, chandan. And they said, okay, now let's take your bath here and let's go for prasad. So, they just go for prasad. So he asks him that these devotees of Lord Chaitanya, they don't follow the proper etiquette. He said, what's the matter? No, if you go to a holy place, first snan, either in the ocean or in a nice pure lake, shave your head, take darshan of the deity, and then eat something. So Sarvam Bhattacharya understands. He says, oh, this is the law for everybody outside. That when you go to a holy place, at least householders should be celibate before you go to a holy place. Shave your head, take your bath, take darshan, and then eat. Fast till that time, and eat only after these things are done. So he said, my dear king, these people come to the holy place to remove their sins. That's the main purpose why they come there. But this group which is coming here, each one of them is pure enough to sanctify a holy place himself. They are not ordinary people. When they visit a holy place, the holy place experiences a kind of relief. A big weight comes down. Bhavat vidha bhagavatas tirtha bhuta svayam vibho tirthi kurvandi tirthani swanta sthena gadabhrata. Yudhishthira Maharaj is praising Narad Muni. He says, you don't need to visit a holy place for purification. You purify it. So he is very satisfied again. And he says, give them whatever they want. Any amount of mahaprasad, any time, whatever service they want to do, all facilities available. And then he says, please give me darshan of Lord Chaitanya. He says, no. Lord Chaitanya is saying, no. Then Ramananda Rai comes. He has just been given his release from government service. He was in the province of Madras, big governor. And then he asked Pratapudra Maharaj, Lord Chaitanya is asking me, can I just come and stay in Puri with him? What we'll do is all day chant, dance, and discuss Krishna Katha and take prasad. At that time, this king said, full blessings. Go there, do all these things, you are very fortunate. I will maintain the same salary which you are getting. Difficult to imagine nowadays. If you ask your call center office or your software employer, that can I just go and serve in Radha Gopinath Mandir? I remember in my own days in the office, there are two of us coming here regularly. And one friend, he said, after Janmashtami, I'm very tired, I'm not coming today. So my boss asked me, where is he? He said, it was Janmashtami, so he can't come today. The firing I got was tremendous. He said, why the hell you work for us then? Work for them only. So next day I said, hey, I got your share of firing. You should go and take your share today now. So this is how employers may react. It's unbelievable. But that time, the king said, go. So Ramananda Rai came to Pratapudra Maharaj and he said, of course at that time Lord Chaitanya told him, I went to the whole of South India and could not find a single Vaishnava except you. He said, no, I am just an ordinary person. But he said, the king is a very nice person. He's so nice. He did this to me. He's given me full permission. So Lord Chaitanya, he doesn't show any emotion. He says, he's a very good devotee of Krishna. His devotion to Krishna is greater than mine. He says, Ramanand Rai, you know he's a king, a pound shilling person. If I meet him, what will people say? And he says, don't talk of people. This Damodar Pandit, my own associate, I'm scared of him. He teaches me etiquette, how to behave, how not to behave. So Ramanand Rai uses diplomacy. And Lord Chaitanya's heart is softened. So Prabhupada writes in the purport that here is an example of an expert diplomat. He says, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Ramanand Rai were not idiots or village fools who became devotees because they didn't have anything to do. They were highly placed, very, very qualified government officials. No dearth of anything, no shortage of name, fame, glory, material assets, nothing, no problem. But they gave it up. At the same time, after becoming Lord Chaitanya's confidential associates, they still use some of those diplomacy tricks. Like Sanatana Goswami tricked his way out of the jail. Raghunath Das Goswami tricked his own skin out of that problem with one official who came to beat him actually. So they use these things. So then Sarvam Bhattacharya is told by Pratap Rudra, this kingdom is nothing for me. My very life is nothing for me. I think Lord Chaitanya has come here to deliver Jagai, Madai, everybody else except this poor king. So these devotees are amazed that how come a king of all people is having such love? And finally the king says, if I don't get his association, I don't get his darshan, I'll become a yogi. I'll put an ivory ring in my ear. They are called Kanphata yogi in India. They pierce the ear, they make a big hole, and bigger the hole and bigger the ring, that means the more powerful you are. Especially in Kumbh Mela, you get all these varieties to see. I'll become like that. So all the devotees say, okay, we'll go to Lord Chaitanya and we'll ask him something. So they all go before him, and they're not saying anything. So Lord Chaitanya says, what is this? You all have come here. I think you want to say something, but you're not saying anything. What's the problem? Speak without fear. So Lord Nityananda says, we feel that what we speak, you may not like. But it's in our heart. It's becoming unbearable to keep it here. So we have to speak. He says, okay, speak up. Will you meet the king even once? This time Lord Chaitanya says, if the next time you make this request, I'll leave all of you and go to some other place. So they are terrified. What Ramanand Rai had told Lord Chaitanya about the king, the last sentence which Lord Chaitanya used was, I think the king is a very good devotee and Krishna will accept him. Now the devotees know, here is Krishna himself. Why is he saying Krishna will accept him? Later, Lord Chaitanya says, okay, I will meet his son, not him. So the king is very fortunate. He sends his son. His son has a swarthy, dark complexion. Very nice, handsome looking young boy. Looking just like Krishna himself, Kaishora Murthy. And Lord Chaitanya embraces him. Nityananda Prabhu agrees to give him his outer cloths from Govinda. And getting that embrace from Lord Chaitanya himself, this boy just becomes a devotee like of the highest order. He's chanting, he's falling on the ground, perspiration is coming from his body, his words are choking. And Prabhupada explains, see, he was an ordinary prince of an ordinary kingdom one day before this event. And Lord Chaitanya embraced him, and this is the caliber of devotee,
of his devotion.
The Prabhupada says, similarly, anyone who joins the Hare Krishna movement, one need not look at what he was doing one day before this. This movement has that potency. Prabhupada says, one should not use the nagna matraka nyaya. You cannot say that your mother, this is the Sanskrit nyaya, your mother when she was a young, she was a baby, she had no clothes. She should not have clothes now also. He said, what kind of nonsense logic is this? So, since you were this kind of fellow before, now even though you are a devotee now, you should be behaving a little bit different way. No. There can be a thorough cleansing, thorough transformation. And that is possible. So then Sarvam Bhattacharya tells the king, there is one way. Very soon there will be the Athyatra. Lord Chaitanya will take rest at this particular junction. He has already told that near this garden, keep a sort of a reclusive place for me, a spot where I can just take rest. Go there, not as a king. Wear simple cloth of a common man. And then you recite this particular verse. Tava kathamritam. The gopis pray to Krishna that your glories, the way you act, the way you please your devotees, all these glories are so magnanimous that just by hearing them, all the conditioned souls in this material world who are like roasted in fire, they will get complete relief. So that's what happens. Lord Chaitanya goes in that grove, beneath a tree, he just lays down to take rest. And King Pratapadura comes dressed as a common, you can't understand whether he's a king or a washerman or whatever. And he just starts massaging Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet, recites this verse, and Lord Chaitanya suddenly jumps up in joy and embraces the king. So, this is how this attachment for Krishna, it's a very, very engrossing narration in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and of all personalities, a person in the kingly order who normally wouldn't think of doing all these things, but seeing Lord Chaitanya, he decides nothing is worthwhile, nothing has any value except this opportunity to become a devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hare Krishna. So we'll stop here. Any comments, corrections, questions? Gantarashman Bhagavat Mahapuran ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Shri Radha Gopinath ki.